Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
My name's Kate Tempest. I'm here because I'm the guest director of this year's Brighton Festival.
What was the first thought when you were invited to be guest director?
I think I was pretty shocked, humbled, I think is the right word. It's quite an awe-inspiring task, and also because when they invite you, they give you a list of all the other people that have done it before. It's like quite a surreal list to be included on, you know?
Yeah, you're in some odd company there, aren't you? You're a different choice to some of those names who have come before you. Why do you think they particularly picked you at this moment in time?
I've got no idea. You'd have to ask them.
Okay.
I hope I've satisfied at least some of their desire. I don't know.
Now, we are living in interesting political times, and I guess you are going to be bringing some of that to the festival as well.
Well, I think that it will be a part of the festival, because as soon as you have something cataclysmic, difficult happening in the world, then that also happens in people, especially when a big group of people gather together to experience an event, experience something bigger than themselves. The people in the room are influencing the actors on the stage or the players in a band, whatever it is. It's this feedback of kind of effect and energy change. And even if the particular people on stage are not directly referencing a current political event, it's here, it's with us, it's in the rooms with us. So of course it's going to be in people's minds, and because of that it's going to charge and recharge the words, the music, the stuff that's being said, spoken, sung, acted. And I think that it's very natural for us as human beings to turn to the theatre, the music, our musicians, our poets, to kind of help us understand or take stock of the kind of the things that feel a bit too big to hold in our heads. You know, it's a very good way of helping us to understand where we're at with things. It helps us place our fears, desires, panic in a way that is rooted in narrative structure, which is how we understand ourselves and our place in the world anyway, you know.
And there is a theme of the everyday epic. I mean, it does feel like we are living in epic times.
Yes, I agree.
So it's very appropriate.
But then I would also say that that's been the case forever, you know. That's always been the case. And that I think this, the everyday epic, refers to the hope that I have that once you have immersed yourself in somebody's story, that you come out of the environment that you watched it in and you remember that every single person that you pass by on the street is full of life and joy and pain and is worthy of your attention and your love. Like, and for me, this is what theatre, music, dance, poetry, this is what it does. It re-establishes my connection to the real, you know, and I hope that that can be the same for other audience members and people that are just, like, around Brighton, just feeling how it feels to just be around all this stuff going on, you know.
How much leeway were you given in the choices that you made?
Well, it's an interesting process because I drew up a big wish list and had many, many ideas that in reality were unworkable. But what happens is that you are invited to dream big, kind of thing. And then through a process of having lots of different conversations, you realise that certain themes are emerging and certain things are possible and certain things aren't. And there's a big group, there's like at least 20 people who are all specialists within their particular strand. So, for example, I know very little about contemporary dance, but there is somebody who specialises in that and who has spent all year going to watch different pieces from all over the world and can say, well, this year this is what's incredible in this particular strand and you should check out these guys. And so I do, and it's a very collaborative experience. And guest director, you're not the curator of it, but you are asked to bring a bit of your identity to the table when you know the lineup's being decided. And I feel really proud of the programme that we've put together. You know, I've had a lot of input, but at the same time it's been truly collaborative, and lots of things in there that I'd had no idea about beforehand, you know.
One of the accusations levelled at the Brighton Festival is it can be very elitist and very Brighton central-centric. And that's not the case this year, because things are happening outside of Brighton as a result of your input, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I didn't know that was something that that was being levelled at the festival, but I did feel like when thinking about what I could possibly contribute, this was something that I think is extremely important across the board. Like, just an understanding of how difficult it is for people to travel, to get into town, to spend money on transport, to have access to childcare, like these things that for some reason people just do not seem to think that this is an issue for people. Like, and I, in my head and heart, I was from the beginning very excited about this idea of including just a bit more than the very, you know, buzzy centre of town in this incredible festival that comes here. And I just wanted it to be a bit more open. So these community centres in Whitehawk and Hangleton are, for me, such an exciting part of this year's programme. What we're going to be doing, I wanted it to run for the entire festival, but because it's a brand new enterprise and that was a little bit impossible. But what we are going to have are two weekends, one at Hangleton, one at Whitehawk. We've been working with steering committees of community groups that are based in these centres, and they've been talking about, you know, what they would like to have in the centres. And it's been a great experience, I think, for everyone involved to just break some of the ice that exists, you know, in essentially assumptions. People assuming that somebody who lives in Hangleton doesn't want to come to the Brighton Festival. It's ridiculous, you know, of course. Like, so I'm really excited about the programme there. It's all free events, which is great, and lots of really exciting things, workshops, participatory things, also performances. And I'm hoping it's the beginning of a much kind of bigger legacy. That, and I think everyone involved in the Brighton Festival has been like really blown away by the experiences they're having in just talking to a bit of a wider section of the community.
There is an issue that when money is tight, funding is being cut. You know, the NHS is in crisis due to funding cuts, yet there's still money for wars down the back of the sofa. Mysteriously, what is the place for art? Because art does become marginalised, and art seems as a bit of a kind of like a cherry on the top of the cake that isn't really necessary.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Well, I think it is really necessary. I think it's necessary for our health, you know, for reconnecting us with our own humanity and therefore connecting us more intrinsically with the humanity of other people, which in this time is probably the most important thing that it could be doing, reminding us. Because I think for me, the greatest part of what happens when you go and see music or poetry or dance or whatever it is it's like a reminding. You discover a lot, of course, but also you're reminded of something that you already knew, and it lands you in the company of the others that you shared that experience with, but also out in the world, you know. And so I think that it's extremely important for that reason, but also to have access to creativity, to have access to your own creativity and the creativity of others. It's very important for personal growth, for mental health, for being able to get out some of the things that we carry around that can become too heavy, you know, and can cause problems for us if we don't have an outlet. So some of the problems with it come about when you're with what you expect the art to do or be for it to be understood as successful. This is an issue for us, I think. Like, in other cultures and in other times, the role of art, the role of poetry, was a kind of social role, you know, and it helped us to understand each other, understand ourselves, be together. But now we're asking for it to make us successful or things like this, which is, I think, it kind of inhibits the practice, and also it stops us being able to allow ourselves to enjoy it if we feel we're no good at it. And that's something that I think is important to say, actually, that this idea that you can't play an instrument because you don't know how to, you can't sing because you've got no voice, you can't write because you've never written, this is a strange, particular dilemma that's happened to us that didn't used to exist, you know, a couple of generations ago that was not the case here. So I'm adamant that it's extremely important, and actually that we've got a long way to go before we realise actually how important it is in kind of re-establishing some of the connections that have been lost.
There's quite an interesting queer selection in this coming Brighton Festival. How important was that for you to have that element in there?
It's very important. And I think that there was much more that we could have done. It was like, there's always so much more, you know? And actually then what gets through and what fits and what we can make happen is an interesting process, which always feels a bit like, oh, I wish it was, you know, a year-long festival rather than 3 weeks. But yeah, I think it's, for me, Brighton feels miles ahead of other cities that I've known in terms of how it feels for people like me to just walk around in a city like this. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that without being too kind of patronising or kind of condescending, because you arrive in a place and it's like, oh, Brighton, the queer community, oh, how interesting. Guys, do you want to come and play at this? It's like, just very respectfully, I think it's very important that we include as many voices as we can. But also, I feel pretty confident in the vibrancy of the community here, that, like, I have a lot to learn about what's happening here, you know. And I think Brighton Festival, same. It's like, we've got a lot to learn. And it's about listening as much as it is about offering, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm like raging queer, so it's exciting for me to have a few things.
What are you most looking forward to, not only in the festival, but about being in Brighton during festival time?
I think just feeling how it feels here. In the previous years, I've come and performed and then just been and gone, basically. Just come in, done the gig and left because of touring commitments and everything else. So this will be the first time that I've actually spent a bit of time just being around it, you know, just feeling what it feels like here when the festival's in town.
Any particular performances? Obviously your own ones.
Oh, I don't want to go to them. Sick of them. Now, there's a duo, actually a trio, called Yousef Kamal. Yousef Day is an incredible drummer from South London, where I'm from, and that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to checking them out. There is a great poetry event with a crew called Lyrics Organics, a poet called Koji Radical. He's fantastic. Toby Thompson, who's a young guy, is great. Loads of spoken word bits, and I'm kind of excited about just being around some of that again, because I started out there and did a lot, and then have kind of moved into other areas and just haven't really been to a poetry night for ages. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a guy from Brighton called Tommy Sissons, actually, who's brilliant, and he's performing at the Apples and Snakes poetry night. I think that's going to be amazing. He's a good one. There's loads of stuff. Also, I actually can't wait to go and see something that I would never, ever go and see under normal circumstances, dance or circus or some of these things, and checking out lots of events at the community centres as well. Yeah, loads, you know.
How do you think your role in the Brighton Festival may have an impact on you as a person, as an artist, as a performer?
Wow.
I know it's early days yet.
Well, I think that it's given me an interesting perspective on how these kinds of things are made possible and how they're organised, and also in what people seem to have an appetite for. And I feel like there's a kind of feeling in the air for a big change, across the board. And then when you get involved in an organisation and you realise that feeling's also there, but it's hard to be the cogs of change in a, but it's possible, you know? And that's been quite an inspiring thing, to think, okay, well, you just need a little catalyst, some kind of spark, and people need to remember how important it is to listen to each other. I think that's something that I'll take away from this, being okay, well, that worked there, or that didn't work there, and I wonder what I can do with a bigger, better idea next time, you know. Not that they'll have me back, but...
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival Hour.